It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. It is time for our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. Today, I have a special guest, Mr. Bob Burrows, an author of a book that I am almost finished reading. It's the best book I've read in a long, long time. It's about fishing. The name of the book is Where the Gulls Are. Bob, thank you very much, sir, for spending some time with us this morning.
Well, good morning, Luke, and thanks for having me.
Well, you know what? As I was just mentioning, I love outdoor books. As an outdoor writer, you'd think I'd get enough of the writing and reading just in my work, but I dearly love a good book that's written by somebody that I can get a feel for when I read and tell that they've been there, you know, that they've been out there doing what they're writing about. And I know that, you know, I've talked to you a good bit, Bob, and you told me it's not a how-to book, but someone that reads the book, you know, they become very aware that you've been there. And that's what really drove home to me.
Well, yeah, I have put a line in a lot of different waters over the years. That's true.
You've done a whole lot of fishing. And some of the early fishing trips, I guess, you know, that you did, and that's very interesting. But what really probably has intrigued me, I'm not quite finished with the book. I'm a slow reader because I absorb everything. What really has interested me is the trips that you've taken up into Canada, into some pristine areas, right?
Well, yes, and there are that spans a lot of acreage, if you will. But the province of Ontario and its neighboring provinces as well offer an awful lot of wilderness. And in that wilderness are a lot of lakes. In fact, the province of Ontario alone contains one-third of all of the world's freshwater. Now, that statistic is distorted a little bit because half of four of the five Great Lakes happen to be in Ontario. So there's a lot of freshwater right there. But if you look at a map, I mean, it is just the whole province is just dotted with lakes and rivers.
You bet. And your trips were with your, I know your son was with you some, and I'm going to guess just some good friends, but canoe trips. And, I don't think, Bob, that you used GPS, did you? Maybe you did, but I think you were using maps and compass, right?
Oh, in the early days, yeah. Uh-huh. You found your way around with a topographic map, if you were lucky enough to have one, and a compass, yeah.
Well, now, the first time that you went into the wilds of Canada on a canoe trip, about what years are we talking, Bob?
Oh, mid-60s.
Yeah, and that country that you were in and that you described so well in your book, the, you know, a pristine wilderness is the best way I could describe it. What's it like today? Has it retained the wilderness feel to it? I mean, has development hit it yet?
Well, let's isolate one particular area that's described in the book in the chapter that's subtitled The Land of Kawaitekan, and that is the Quetico Provincial Park, and that is still pristine and will always be. There is absolutely no development. In the other areas, which I would generally describe as Ontario directly north of the American Midwest, development is taking place, but relatively slowly. The climate is a limiter. Agriculture there is pretty much limited to forestry, and there's no much north of a band along the American border. There's not much manufacturing industry, although there are some forest products plants in remote towns in Ontario, like Chapleau. But no, there's an awful lot of pristine wilderness left.
And the whole allure to me, you know, is the fact of paddling back. I, you know, my paddling has been limited to Arkansas. There's some beautiful rivers on Arkansas in Arkansas that I've paddled, and you know, the Brazos here in Texas is a neat river. The Trinity, which is anything but pristine, especially below the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. The further away you get, the better it gets, but it's a big. Can be a pretty strong river at times, but you know, the allure of just getting in a small boat and taking with you what you need for 2 days, 3 days, ever how long you're going to be gone, and this, you know, you're on your own horsepower, and you're heading, in the case of the rivers here in Texas and Arkansas, there's some good fishing to be had. But to go back up in the wilderness, Bob, that's just awesome. And you fellas caught the daylights out of the fish when you were up there. I've read the reports on some of those lakes, and it must have been some pretty easy fishing at times.
Well, it was, and that you would think that's wonderful, but that is the ultimate. We looked at it kind of differently, or at least I did. It ought to be a challenge. When you get into one of those situations where there's a strike on every cast, as the outfitter at Quetico told us, enjoy the paddle because fishing here is almost silly.
Silly, yeah. Uh-huh.
And in certain places it was. And, you know, when we got into places where it was a little more difficult, that's more fun.
It's like we were talking about bow hunting or... Are you, you know, you're at the stage you use a crossbow. Yeah, you know, you could take a 7 mag or a 300, but it's the challenge, isn't it? That's
well, yeah. Well, yes, it is. That's the challenge. The challenge is that with archery equipment, you've got to be a much better hunter.
You just do. I mean, you know, it's not bragging. It's just a fact. It's
yeah.
Just a fact of hunting with a bow. Something that caught my eye in the book that I wished I was there is when you guys were fishing on the eastern coast. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yes.
And the bluefish was the
right.
Run of the bluefish. Now, that sounded like some either feast or famine fishing to me, Bob. You know?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And in a lot of ways, unless you're talking about, you know, smaller panfish. Spots and croakers and the like.
Uh-huh.
The surf fishing pretty much is a feast or famine deal. That's kind of a fascination to that. You know that we call it TOW, time on water. You spend enough time on water, you're likely to have a school come by.
Uh-huh.
And when that happens, it's just fantastic. It may not last long. But it's fantastic, and that sequence described in the book in the chapter that's subtitled "Chaos at Coquina."
Yeah, uh-huh.
That was pretty unique. I mean, I haven't seen that happen very many times. In fact, today it hardly happens at all. That migration, for reasons I do not understand, has died out.
It's not underway anymore. Then, yeah.
It may come back. I mean, it is well known that bluefish, and these are the jumbo bluefish, that they are very cyclic in population. And there are a lot of things that affect this. And one of them is the menhaden fishery as you come down the coast toward the south. There were abundant menhaden. And overfishing has greatly decreased the number of menhaden. In fact, there's some legislation currently pending that is intended to restore the menhaden population, and from the in the region of the mouth of Chesapeake Bay and south. It used to be you could stand on the beach and see schools of menhaden go by. I don't see that anymore.
Not prevalent any longer. Yeah.
But the other side of that coin is with the fading out of the jumbo bluefish, there is a resurgence of stripers. So the striper fishing on the Outer Banks now is much improved over what it used to be.
You know, Bob, I don't know if you've ever heard of Lake Texoma. It's on the Texas-Oklahoma border.
Yeah,
and it's from KETR country, which we're up in northeast Texas. It's an hour and a half drive, but Lake Texoma is one of the few lakes that has the right salinity to make the eggs buoyant and let them hatch. You know, so it's a natural hatchery, the Red River above Lake Texoma. It's an awesome striper fishery. I've never fished for, I have caught a few in saltwater, but I've never been up off the Chesapeake area up in there fishing where they make their annual runs from north to south, you know. But
yeah.
I literally love to catch stripers. And here, now Lake Washita, you know, up in Arkansas is a trophy striper place by this definition in this part of the world, but at Texoma, if you catch a 20 pounder, you've caught a big one, you know?
Oh, yes. That phenomenon that you mentioned about the salinity is one of the reasons why the coastal area of Eastern America, with all of its brackish water, all of its bays and sounds, that's the origin of all of the stripers that are now in freshwater lakes, like the TVA lakes and the ones you mentioned. That is their origin, and it's just a wonderful striper environment there. But
it's
for
awesome.
Some time, they had been scarce.
That's
now they're
true.
Coming back.
Folks, our guest is Bob Burrows. Now, Bob wrote one of the most awesome books that I've read in a long time. The name of the book is Where the Gulls Are. Bob, we've only have about 4 more minutes, if you can believe it. I could spend about 3 hours, and I just have a feeling we had scratched the surface on some of the fishing stories that you could tell. As a matter of fact, I know that's the truth. But people that would like to get your book and make an awesome Christmas gift, or, you know, how do they go about getting the book?
Well, you can buy it online from AuthorHouse.com or from Amazon.com or your local bookstore. Of course, that usually entails a little premium on the price, and it's also available as an e-book from either AuthorHouse.com or Amazon.
I got you. Well, you know what? Maybe we can continue this visit on a future show, and then get into let you tell some of the stories that maybe there's probably a bunch of stories that you did not write and that you didn't include in this book, and get you to tell some of the fishing stories that you could only come up with a lifetime of fishing, and I believe you've been fishing most of your life, haven't you?
Since I was 5 years old.
That's a lot of experience.
Yeah, that's 71 years, or that's 76 years ago.
Well, we'll definitely, if you can take some time to be with us in the near future, Bob, I want to get you back and let you tell some stories, maybe some stories about some of the most unique fishing trips that you've had in your life. How about it?
I would be delighted.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thanks, and same to you, and tight lines, Luke.
Thank you, buddy. Folks, that was Bob Burrows. He is an awesome author and a fisherman, somebody I'd like to spend some time with. You know, folks, one of the highlights of my job as an outdoors writer, an outdoor journalist, and having the opportunity to host some radio shows, one of the biggest advantages is some of the neat people that I have the opportunity to meet and get to know, like Bob here. Can you imagine some of the places he's been? And I think Bob said he was in mid-70s, you know, in age. But can you imagine what, say, up in Canada, some of the wilds up there were like back when he was a youngster, you know, when he was getting started making those canoe trips back up there? Absolutely amazing. I want to remind all of you that you can go online to catfishradio.com. catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of our hour-long hunting and fishing show that we do each week, and I know that a lot of you do just that from the emails I get. If you have any information or news for me that you'd like me to know about, I'm going to give you my email address, and I'd like to welcome you to feel free to email me anytime, and I promise you I'll get right back with you. You can email me Luke Clayton, Luke, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, at prodigy.net. Luke Clayton at prodigy.net. And I'll guarantee you I'll get back. Folks, I hope all of you had a great, have a great week, and I hope you have a chance to get out and do some hunting and fishing, and join me right back here next week at the same time.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.